The new movie Beasts of the Southern Wild is sort of a Louisiana fairy tale with a six-year-old girl as its hero. Her name is Hush Puppy, and she lives with her father in this isolated bayou netherworld that they call the bathtub.
One day, the storm's gonna blow, the ground's gonna sink, and the water's gonna rise up so high, there ain't gonna be no bathtub, just a whole bunch of water.
The storm does come, and not just the storm, but somehow Hush Puppy survives and refuses to leave her home. Beasts of the Southern Wild has won all kinds of awards at film festivals the last 6 months, and it's the work of a first-time 29-year-old feature film director, Ben Zeitlin.
You know, I always think of it not as a fantasy movie, but a film with kind of a heightened reality that sort of happens through the subjectivity of the main character. You know, the fact that you see everything and experience everything the way that a six-year-old would, you know, at that age, you really don't parse out the difference between what's imaginary and what's actually happening. It's all very real, you know, even though adults are telling you some things are real and they aren't, you know, as a kid, you don't have that experience.
And that kid in your movie is played by Quvenzhané Wallace. She is, as you know, just exceptional and not just a cute kid who reads her lines well. She has this amazing range, and she's physically impressive as she sort of climbs over and under debris, wearing the very white rubber boots I wore when I was her age. The success of this film really depends on her. How did you find her? How did you direct her?
We found her through kind of brute force. We spent 9 months looking for kids. We looked at we looked at somewhere between 3,500 and 4,000 people for the role.
Down there?
All down in South Louisiana. No one in the film had ever acted before. It was all cast locally. You know, but it wasn't like a close race. She came in and just had this, you know, you put the camera on her and you just see gears turning behind her eyes and you see this focus and kind of morality and just, you know, you see that and you just see your character emerge and just it all becomes clear when we found her.
So really, it was like an aha moment. We've got her. Stop the presses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How she's never acted before in her life. How do you direct a kid? And you've never made a feature film. What was the process of making her do what you needed her to do?
I mean, it wasn't that tricky. She really has an amazing ability to internalize information, and you know, I would explain to her, you want to get your father's attention in the scene. Do everything you can to get his attention. If he tells you to go away, don't listen to him. And she is amazing because while you're telling her this, she'll be like eating gummy bears and pulling someone's hair. And then you say, were you paying attention? He said, yeah. You know, you want me to follow my father? Blah blah blah. Like, and I'll say these three lines. And she's just incredibly smart. And we initially thought that we were going to do things like have someone jump out from behind a wall and surprise her to try to get her to look surprised. But her focus is so intense that stuff didn't work. You know, you would have someone jump out from behind the wall and she wouldn't flinch. She just would stay in character. And so we realized very quickly that we just had to work with her like an adult.
She sounds almost as extraordinary as the character.
She truly is. She truly is.
This is a story, among other things, about holdouts, people who refuse to leave their homes even when the houses have been destroyed and the sort of twisted nature is killing them. Is that a kind of character that you're drawn to in general?
Yeah, I mean, it was that was really where the film started, and it came a lot from, you know, the short film that I made in 2006, and that cast was all local, and it was all people that were there very soon after the storm. And you know, there was a lot of rhetoric in the country at that time of this sort of, why rebuild? Like, New Orleans just should go away. This is irresponsible to live there, and all this stuff. And I thought it was such a ridiculous, conversation being there and sort of knowing these people and how much their home meant to them and how much their culture meant to them, and just the idea that it could be transplanted is just crazy. And I definitely wanted to make a film that celebrated the people that hold on and that are fighting to keep this place alive.
Does that have any analog in your life? I mean, your life on its surface seems very different than theirs.
Well, I think I come by it honestly. Like, my dad tried to get down to Coney Island and handcuff himself to the Thunderbolt before they knocked it over. So, you know, this sort of notion of, my parents are both folklorists, and this notion that a place is worth preserving and a culture is worth preserving, even if it isn't designed by some famous architect, even if it doesn't have some sort of high art
or industrial importance.
It's like there's importance to the cultures of the world, and to see them disappear is the worst kind of death. And so I think that probably that was instilled in me in some visceral way by the folks.
You're from suburban New York. After Katrina, a lot of people from elsewhere came there suddenly with ideas about how to tell the story of the people there and the land and the water and all that. Did you encounter any resistance as a carpetbagger?
No, not really. I mean, you know, first of all, we weren't in New Orleans. You know, we were in a totally different place, which is not accustomed to people from the outside coming down as much. It's all the way down an hour and a half
south of
New
Orleans. Sean Penn wasn't there and boats ahead of you?
No. This is like, you know, this, not a place that gets a whole lot of publicity. It's an hour and a half south of New Orleans, all the way at the end of the road. And among the great things about the culture is it's people are like virtuosos in making fun of someone. And so when you come down as a kid from suburban New York, you are absolute gold for ribbing and jives. And so I would hang out in the docks and just became like everybody's favorite joke. And then, you know, as you hang out longer, you tell people you're making a movie, and it's such a, the culture has such a warmth and hospitality to it that even though there's maybe a kind of wariness and a sort of territoriality when you first set foot, you know, you're around for a week and you're over for dinner and you're getting taken alligator hunting, and you know, it really, I think I was a bit of a novelty, and that probably worked in my favor.
And so you put up with the hazing, and after a while they say, okay, fine.
Yeah, you know, they knew you'd be around, and so it's like a new friend.
You also composed the music in the film with Dan Romer. I want to play one of the themes, which is from the beginning of the film, before the storm, when the people in the bathtub town are having a celebration. And if you can sort of deconstruct it as we listen and explain what we're hearing and what was the goal of the music.
Okay. Okay, yes. If we wanted to create both a feeling of like this celebration, but also let you know that something ominous is overhead, that this beautiful place is not going to stay utopian forever. What you're hearing right now is sort of Cajun song taken from the region where the film was shot by the Balfour Brothers, and we wanted to sort of mix in Cajun songs with our orchestration and kind of create something that was a blend of the two.
But me and my daddy, we stay right here. We's who the earth is for.
And then this is really the bathtub theme, and we wanted to create something that felt anthemic and like a national anthem or like Auld Lang Syne, the sort of iconic folk anthem that everyone in the town would know how to sing. Later in the film, when the place falls apart, you can sort of remember it by that song, the way that, you know, you would remember your country if it was gone by a tune that came from it.
Anthemic, which is a word thrown around a lot, is exactly right for that song. And it's one of those things that make it not like a little indie movie.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't see, we tried to score it from her point of view, and she certainly doesn't see herself as a little indie character. She's like a folk hero, or she's like a tiny little warrior, and so.
And she knows she's important for history.
Exactly. It reminds, the theory behind it is sort of when you're six, you know, sometimes you're just walking down the street doing nothing, but you have the Batman theme playing in your head, you know, and so that idea that you need to know how she feels about her own story, and that's where the adventure of the film emerges from.
Ben Zeitlin, congratulations, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ben Zeitlin is the director of Beasts of the Southern Wild. It starts opening in theaters this weekend. You can see a clip from the film at studio360.org.